And now I'm joined on the line by Paula Lonergan, who is, well, she's written an extraordinary play which is opening up tonight, actually, at the New Theatre in Essex Street in Temple Bar, and it's called The Plot. And I think this sums it up. It's a new play which uncovers some chilling truths about Ireland's past and present. Paula, welcome to The Art Show.
Hi, Maura. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good sum up of the whole thing, all right, definitely.
If you want to cover something up, bury it and say a few prayers over it, tell us. Tell us what the plot of The Plot is all about.
Well, that's a good question. The plot of The Plot. Well, really, what is happening is, The Plot is about the ghost of a woman who was a victim of suicide in the 19th century. And she is coming back to claim her right to a proper grave, a home for the rest of her, for all eternity. And in order to be eligible, she has to go through an interview to assess her status. And during the interview, she's interviewed by a council worker who, during the interview, they become involved in each other's lives and stories. And there's, I suppose, a link that is revealed between the two women that I suppose reaches out much further than the actual situation and the theme of the play itself. So it goes on to talk about themes such as homelessness in Ireland and I suppose how people who died by suicide were retreated in the past, but also mothers and people who were, I suppose, mothers who weren't married. And I suppose that there's also a reflection on how the mother and baby homes, I suppose, are a little bit like the situation of this ghost in some ways.
It's an extraordinary.
Quite a lot there. Sorry.
Absolutely, Paula. But it's wonderful. I mean, I'm going to use the word, you've uncovered a really interesting part of our collective history, and in particular these burial sites. We talk about, you know, the death in general. We talk about, you know, graveyards and consecrated grounds. But here we're talking about unconsecrated grounds. We're talking about the Killeen and how these were really burial sites. Sometimes they were just unmarked, and the body was just put into the ground without maybe perhaps even a coffin. Some of them were individual, but some of them were mass graves, and they were really for the outcasts of society. It sounds
very
really
much
morbid.
That's what it is, very much. They're mostly known for burial sites for premature and stillborn babies. So they're known mainly as that, but what happened was they were also used for, as you say, outcasts from society, anybody who just wasn't deemed acceptable enough to be buried in a proper grave. So in there was, because suicide at the time was a crime, and so the corpse itself would actually be sentenced to what they called a shameful burial into one of the Killeens at night, like you say, with no coffin, no family allowed to be there, no prayers, nothing, just straight into the earth. And that would be in on top, I suppose, of other people who were there, possibly sometimes strangers who wandered into villages and maybe died, and nobody knew where they were from or what religion they were, so in they went as well. But I suppose my play focuses on this woman who died by suicide, and she was also a mother. And her sad story is recounted in fragments throughout the play. However, she has a second, like all characters in the play, they have a kind of a shape shift. And so she has a second role, if you like, to play in the whole thing, and revealing, I suppose, going back further than the 19th century, all the way back to the Old Testament. And she embodies the character of another woman who was originally in the Garden of Eden, but was who left because she was not deemed acceptable in one way, and in another reading she was not herself happy to bow to the authority of the garden, and namely the male authority of Adam. So there's a second character in this woman who's coming back, and this becomes revealed over the course of the interview.
It's a beautiful story, and it's a beautiful play, and I know it's done in the... I always love when you know, different arts and genres come together. Like in this, Paula, you're telling a very, you know, for some people, it's part of the our living memory. You know, it's part of our collective past here.
Well, it is recent past from a point of view of, like, we're still getting the reports on Tuam, and the mother and baby homes are still so, so harrowing to hear about on the news and everything. And I really feel that my, I suppose, what I had ready at my disposal to tell these very harrowing stories was the theatre genre is one, but secondly, a character that was already dead 120 years was able to create a distance enough to be able to talk and tell these stories directly. If it was something, a person from a more recent time, I'm not sure I could have said it with the same directness and frankness that this character does in the play. It's quite hard hitting in that way, and she's funny too. She's got a bit of a sense of humour. She's quite dark. She's kind of a little bit cynical as well about things, and she's done a little bit of living since her death, if you like, and she's got a few things to say about the whole thing. But yes, it is lovely to use this context, I suppose, and this kind of character in order to be able to say and tell these really difficult stories.
And
there's also music involved that was a score that was composed especially for the play by Mary Barnicot. And I really feel that, you know, we're saying there about mixing genre. I really feel that music can help in this kind of telling of a story to add a dimension. Especially where we're going back, it's a ghost. It's quite surreal. You've got a bureaucrat interviewing a ghost. It's already quite surreal. So the music in the background, it's cello and voice, really, I think, helps add this dimension to the story and the telling of the story.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, I know there were different times and there were different rules back then. I mean, these killies, there's over 1,440 of them that we know all throughout Ireland. And you went and you've seen some of these killies.
Yes, I did. Researching the play, there's so little written down about suicide plots and killings. So I, through the help of a few other people, I got in touch with heritage societies, historical societies, local historians, and managed to find them because they're very, very remote. They're very difficult to find sometimes. And then sometimes if you just go to a local place, the local people will know where the killing is, and they'll just tell you and they'll bring you. But you could be crossing somebody's field and go 2-3 fields in from the road, already a small, remote little country road. So you really, when you go to them, you get such a sense of isolation and incredible loneliness and how awful. You know, I would often feel, what was the walk up from the village like with, you know, possibly a stillborn baby or a person who died by suicide, a family member? It must have been so harrowing an experience. And this brought me to think about, I suppose, my own experience working in the refugee asylum seeker process to gain refugee status in Ireland, and that is based on an interview. And the interview is, I suppose, the eligibility of the person coming forward, the applicant, would be decided upon their ability to tell a story, basically. So that's a little bit what's happening in the plot, in the play as well. Very process-driven type interview. But this ghost isn't having any of it, really. She's telling her story her way, and there's no way around that. So, but that's also something these journeys people make are just so, so difficult and so harrowing. And we're hearing about it every day in the news. And then, of course, all the desperate things that happen on these journeys, and not so many that don't survive. So it is all tied in to this idea of people, you know, trying to reclaim their rights to live again and to be at least acknowledged and have some form of a status. That's really what this ghost is after. And I think she embodies a lot of the themes that are going on in Ireland right now, you know, all over Europe actually as well. So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's not just our folklore and religion and myth all cut up together. You know, it is reflecting part of our present. Tell us a little bit about the demon. that's in it that tries to lure her back to the world of the undead.
Well, yeah, he's a very ambiguous guy. He's not involved with the two women whatsoever. He is invisible to them, and so he arrives into this. I suppose the character is the embodiment of the all of the things that we see that is wrong. But we refuse to see it. So he kind of comes alive out of the situations being described by the ghost, almost conjures him up onto the stage, and he expresses the everything that is dark about humanity that we will not recognize, that we will not look in the eye. And he kind of makes us do that for the time of the play. So that it kind of gives the backdrop to the what the ghost is trying to get the interviewer to understand. So he's there. He represents a kind of demon, or he represents human darkness, and all of the very, very unacceptable things that we are, really. And he dips in and out of the play. He just appears and goes away again, appears and goes away again. He has a kind of a Shanachie feel about him, but he'd be someone you might meet. You might recognise some things about him, definitely recognisably Irish, but there are things about him that are repulsive. And if you were to meet someone like this, you just wouldn't encourage their company, basically. He is someone who is very, very ambiguous and shady. So he has a very important role to play in the play, because the audience watching get full access to this darkness, I suppose, that we all have in us.
You're both a writer and a director, Paula, and you've studied voice and theatre both in France and here in Dublin at the Gaiety School of Acting.
Yeah.
You've written and performed yourself as well and collaborated on many theatrical productions, and you've done quite a bit abroad in Europe, both in Italy and in Switzerland and in France.
Yeah. Mainly in France, yeah.
Wow. Yes. That's wonderful.
I studied theatre there, and I went, I suppose, my first experiences in theatre were all in France. I was part of a company over there, and we were very, very active in the southwest of France, and with, I suppose, other theatre companies. I worked quite a lot in both traditional and street theatre settings. So I had learned an awful lot around putting, I suppose, together a theatrical piece that pulled in an awful lot of other collaborators. We would use musicians, we would use acrobats, we would use all kinds of different genres in one spectacular type show. And that was really a hugely important part of what I've learned about directing. And then I've also performed quite a bit as well in theatrical productions. So it's really nice to be part of the, I suppose, getting somewhere with this play. This is a play that I've written completely myself, and it's nice to see it take, I suppose, grow some legs and get the interest that people seem to have in it, you know?
Absolutely, Paula. And I was inspired by a plot not too far from us here on Crossroads.
Clonliffe Road, exactly. I live really near there. And this is really one of the very first, I suppose, things that made me think this would be really, what a dramatic thing to write about. It is a suicide plot. It's known locally as the suicide plot. And there are two known suicide plots in Dublin. So this is one, and there is very, very little documented about it, but over research with local historians again, I even managed to find the name of the last person buried in there, who was a woman who died by suicide and lived literally just up the road from me. So even though my play had already been written, my character was not far from this person who was really there. And that was quite a moment when I discovered that. It has been taken care of a little bit recently. They've put some nice planting and a bench where people can sit down in this place now. But all the years I was living here before, it was really like a just a desolate place where there was just nothing was built on it, and it was just on the side of a large crossroads with Clonliffe Road there. And it just was very lonely and just as isolated and desolate as any of the killings that I was visiting around the country. So it's nice that there's some recognition, and a local, our Lord Mayor, is actually working at the moment on trying to get some kind of plaque to just to recognise it in a secular way, as for what it is, you know, so that it would be nice to have that there or to see that happen, you know.
Well, it's wonderful, and it's fantastic that you brought this back into our consciousness, because it is part of our collective past, Paula, and it does reflect on our present, how they both can come together. So this is a must see for everybody. It kicks off tonight in Tipper Bar. So to give us some details about how people can get tickets.
Okay, so you have the New Theatre website, the New Theatre in Essex Street in Temple Bar. We open tonight at 7:30, so the tickets can be bought directly on the website there, or you can call in by phone and book them that way, or you can simply walk in and get your ticket on the night. Although booking is advised, because it isn't a huge theatre, it has 66 seats, so we're pretty close to selling out for tonight. And other nights are selling quite fast as well. So thankfully, it's great. But so people who want to book should go ahead maybe and get them in advance.
It's running only up until Saturday the 9th. And I know that anybody that goes to see it will be absolutely, on so many different levels, because there are so many themes and layers to it that they will come away both educated, but also...
Hopefully,
a mixture of emotions.
Yes, absolutely. I think I hope the play helps us to learn about ourselves and humanity. And the whole idea is that if we just have a little bit more courage to look at these things and see them for what they are and accept the darkness a little bit, we might just do better, a little better with handling it and managing when things are not so bright and breezy. That's really what it's about, you know. If we can just, as a nation, kind of look in and say, okay, this is who we really are, we might do better then, just by accepting it all.
Beautifully put.
Hopefully that's what people will come away with.
Well, Paula Lonergan, thank you so much for chatting to us on The Art Show.
Thank you, Maura. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Lovely talk.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.